Yo, it's the real deal. O'Neal's on the mic. A dad and his kid, and we say what we like. From the Detroit burbs, yeah, we cover that map. Dropping all things good in a flat rim cap. Pop talk, gang talk, my body too. With the Motor City rhythm and the hometown crew. So if you're feeling the vibe, go ahead, press play. It's all things good every week, no delay.
Welcome back. It's another great episode of the Real Deal O'Neal's podcast, episode 21.
22.
22. Okay. I don't know about you, but we're feeling 22. I am Aiden.
But go on.
Well, I'm 24 now, but I am Aiden. I'm always joined by
your dad. And tonight we have our first special guest that doesn't share the name O'Neal.
Absolutely.
And
her name,
you heard her, you know, being very provocative and poignant on the pizza episode, and her name is
Yali Whiteford.
All right, love it. Welcome, Yali. How are you doing today?
I'm feeling 22. I'm feeling great, and I'm so happy to be the first non-O'Neal on the pod.
Well, we're elated to have you here, and you guys are. We have a little treat going on here. Marcy made us a tray. This comes from our latest foray into Windsor, and we brought back from a little Italy some prosciutto, but that's probably not the correct way of pronouncing it. Here, hold the microphone.
So close, prosciutto. And I saw the label on it, and it's actually prosciuttino, which adding the ino at the end makes it minuscule.
Right. So, and beyond that, we have olives that you said were your favorite. Please tell us about them.
Castelvetrano. These are really firm, fleshy olives that, you know, they're really best with the pit on them. They stay really juicy and moist that way.
Gotcha. I don't think I've had olives like this before. I've always had those ones that you put on pizza.
Oh, yeah. The black olives.
Yeah, I think this is my first one, so this would be a first-time experience for me for sure.
Try it, but remember they have a pit in there. Let's all try one right now for the audience's pleasure.
This one right here.
The pits can go in there. No, you just... the olive. We're doing the olive.
Oh.
Mmm. Aiden's making a face. The best. This is me chewing.
It's interesting. I'm trying to get the flavors down.
It's glorious.
Yeah.
It is glorious.
I got a lot of it though, you see? That's...
Yeah, well, you don't... Yeah, you good.
Yeah, enjoy. That is really good.
Enjoy. The prosciutto is really good, too. So, anyway, so, again, Marcy and I went to, we did a day trip the other day, just because we were bored, and Marcy surprised me, and we went, grabbed our passports and went over to Windsor and went to Little Italy and went to a place called, I think the market was called La Strella, and then we went to Spaco, and goddamn, it was really something else. You spent some time in there, right?
Yeah, in fact, I mentioned it.
Yes, you did.
On the pizza episode. From what I understand, it's still open, but it's an absolute treat if you can make it. Terracotta pizza. Mm. Shout out. Hope you're still open.
Yeah, I don't know if it is.
No, it is. I looked it up.
Never
I
did. Heard of
I googled it. Stoogled it. I googled it, and yeah, it's still in operation. But yeah, we just went to this market, which was incredible, and it was so old school. They, you know, Aiden, years ago you worked at a grocery market, and then just like every store, they scan everything, right?
Yep.
No, not here. This was like it was 1972.
Wow.
Yeah, the cashier, she was like, yeah, punching in the numbers. She was weighing things, doing the calculations. It was like back reliant on math and things like that.
That's how we calculate. Our jewelry actually is
you're not scanning.
Nope, we're not scanning.
Because you have anything. Very fluid pricing, right?
Very fluid pricing because we can't just give special discounts on certain pieces. Like if you wanted a sterling silver chain, for instance, we could go half off that bottom price for most of them, depending on pricing. Mm-hmm. If it's a $40 chain and it's single priced, you're getting it for $40. That's a good deal. But if there's two prices on there, one says 600 something and the other says 400 something, we could do half off the 200 pricing at the 400 pricing at the bottom. Make it 200 good. Something. Decent for sterling silver, but gold we can only do for 20% off.
All right. Well, that sounds, I don't know, confusing to me.
I mean, it's a lot to learn. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Well, that's good that you have that down. Yeah. So, Yali, thanks for being on the podcast. Please tell us what's bringing you joy lately. What are you doing lately that's keeping you motivated?
Well, like we talked earlier, what I'm really excited about is something I've thought about for quite a while, and that is getting some bright friends of mine, some ladies, getting them together for discussion. Mm-hmm. For a forum where you can share ideas in a very welcoming, yes and kind of environment, to work on some challenges. Yeah. And workshop some issues somebody might gotcha. Be having.
Is it like workplace themed?
Doesn't have to be. Gotcha. I mean, it can be personal, it can be professional, but this is essentially, you know, bringing together peers, you know, yeah. women I respect, women who I think are right. very, very intelligent. And
that's awesome.
You know, it's also a protest in a way of not having to monetize everything.
Yeah.
You know, just... we can get together, you know, analog style.
Right.
And not spend hundreds of dollars in a noisy restaurant to try right. to get to learn from each other.
That's a good point, too, because not only, I mean, restaurants are also expensive at the end of the day, too, mm-hmm. especially when you have all your friends there, too. So you were thinking about bringing them together, like at your place, their places.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. cool. So intimate setting, very chill. But it has some structure to it.
What right? is that type of structure?
So I'm looking for, I want us all to leave inspired. I want to walk away having learned something.
Gotcha.
Again, it doesn't have to be tied to work, but I want to grow as a person, and I want to share that with women like me.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
No, I think that's really great. So you're looking for sponsors at this point, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah, you're looking for people.
I'm here to plug my program.
Plug
so
the program.
How large do you want these groups to be? Because I think what it sounds to me is like there's it's special that it's like you said, it's not being monetized, it's not being recorded, but it's also it's maybe not too large either. There's a sense of intimacy, maybe.
Yeah, it's gotta be that where nobody feels left out, right? Everyone feels that they are contributing and they're getting value back, and their insight is critical.
Yeah,
you know, to making this work.
Gotcha. So, when you were, are you looking for mostly like you said that you wanted to bring people like women specifically that mm-hmm. that are like you to it as well? Would you be open to if someone was a little bit far off or not quite like as far as like personality wise, or is it more just a form of like empowering one another mm-hmm. to just speak up about stuff that's going on?
Yeah. I mean, we all go through so much and we can learn from each other's experiences really yeah. well.
Yeah.
In ways that are beneficial for us all, but even psychologically speaking, socially yeah. speaking, it's beneficial on so many levels. And I just get tired of feeling that gatherings like that somehow are off limits
yeah.
in some way.
You know, that's a good point, because I feel like a lot of gatherings I've been to, I feel like I wasn't getting anything out of it, mm-hmm. especially when it came to some of my fraternity brothers when I went the alum status, and a lot of them went the alum status as well. And yeah, I would see them here and there, but I really didn't feel like I was getting a lot out of it as far as like a perspective of just, I didn't learn something about that person. I just found out, oh, it's the same guy doing the same old stuff. He's still, got the same job, still got the, depends on the brother, but still got the same girlfriend or like got a new relationship, whatever. But
well, it sounds like that's kind of like it, that things, the conversation stayed at a certain level and never really got as interesting as you hoped.
You know, and that's on me a bit too, because I feel like if I'm ever like around them as well, like I could do something to like change the way that the conversation was going.
Well, that's, and I think that's what's really great what you're doing, Yali, is like you're making this happen, and it's not just a luncheon. Hey, let's get together, ladies. You're looking at this becoming something and something regular. And I think context matters so much. I mean, if it was 15 women or people, it's easier for someone to hide or not feel empowered and not feel invited to the conversation. Then you get fragments. So what is the ideal number, or what are you thinking in terms of the size of the group?
Yeah, I think under 10. Under 10 for sure. Yeah. 10 or less.
Yeah. No. And you're the apex and in control of this at all times. You're the alpha.
You know, that's what really is the appeal. For being honest. Yeah. No. You know,
part of it.
Being honest here, I have been looking for either professional organizations to be a part of, either in tech or women in tech, things like that. But again, it was either very exclusive, it was too far, or the membership was, you know, cost prohibitive, for example. And I'm like, God, this sucks. And then I thought, well, why don't I just do it?
Yeah. Like, fine, I'll do it
and
myself.
I can make it however I want.
Right.
You know, you kind of feel like 12 years old again. It's going to be my club. And that's, we're going to awesome. Make our own rules.
For sure.
And do we have a name for this club yet?
Working title, The Parlor.
Love it.
Love it. Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy Marcy's on board. She's also a friend of the pod, I think.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Yeah, very much so, and also the person who created not just our plate of olives and prosciutto, but also the mocktail.
Prosciutto.
The mocktail, yeah, thank you. The mocktails of which you speak. Can you? How are they? Talk about that.
These mocktails are off the charts. The brightness and the tartness and the little bit of sweetness from the pineapple. Mm-hmm. Really offsets the saltiness and the brininess of the olives. Fantastic. Hats off to that woman.
I love this mocktail for sure. Mm-hmm. And I drink here and there, but whenever there's a mocktail opportunity, I'll take that over the cocktail opportunity.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
For me, it's like whenever I want to drink something, or like if I want to drink a Guinness, I'll have one. And then I'll just call it quits. But if I have an opportunity to either take a cocktail or a mocktail or something fancy, always go the non-alcoholic route. It's so worth it. You're not the one that's going to be on the floor after. You just get to watch everybody else do it.
Yep, exactly. There's got to be an advantage to that from what I've heard.
Every St. Patrick's Day where there was a bunch of drinking, I was the one dude that didn't drink, and I'm just seeing everybody fall around and stuff.
It's so funny. It's a goddamn mess.
Well, remember when we were in Chicago in 2023 during St. Patrick's Day?
Jesus
when they were painting the river green?
They weren't painting it. They were
dying. But again, when we were...
That was really spectacular, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Yali. It was really...
Only in photos.
Yeah, it's unbelievably amazing. Vibrant. Yeah.
But again, when we're walking around downtown Chicago, the amount of people you'll be seeing passed out or falling, it's a crazy number.
It's pretty nasty. That's for sure. But yeah, well, so congratulations. I think that's super cool, Yali, and we'll have to keep coming back to the pod and telling us more about this. You know, I know we're all getting ready for the holidays, and there's this onflux of the holiday spirit everywhere. Have you been getting out and about in the area at all lately? Is there anything in town that you've been particularly enjoying as we approach holidays, or is it mostly just kind of like nesting at home?
We've been hitting Birmingham pretty hard lately.
Nice. Nice. I love Birmingham.
We have our sacred Tuesday movie nights.
Mm.
As you know, you have a standing invitation, or yes, open invitation, yes, Aiden Tuesday nights at the Palladium.
Palladium?
Or the Birmingham 8, if we're going to get fancy.
Gotcha.
But also powered by Imagine, so it's really the same thing.
I love that. What time would that normally be? Like, is it past 9 p.m.?
Oh, my God, no. No, it's going to be anywhere between 6 and 7:30.
Yeah, I'm working. That's like the one day that I can't be off.
So Marcy and I have been hitting some of those Tuesday movies too, as you may have heard in aforementioned and in prior podcasts. And they're fantastic. $5 person, you get in there. Have you seen anything lately that you loved?
You know, I saw it when it came out in the theaters, and I recently rewatched it. Have you seen Weapons?
No.
Josh mm-hmm. Brolin.
Yeah, I've heard a lot.
It's remarkable.
Really?
Yeah, it's so tightly woven together.
Yeah.
And it's turned on its head a bunch of different times.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of what is it called? There's some surrealism in it. And I've been seeing that making somewhat of a resurgence, you know, like with Osgood Perkins and his movies. I don't know if you're familiar with any of these, like
I've heard the
Monkey
name.
What's the other one I love so much? But anyway.
Heard of The Monkey, never seen it.
Yeah, so some of this, surrealism seems to be coming back, you know.
Yeah.
We would only see it, especially like in Spanish or South American movies like Guillermo del Toro, some of that surrealism. But it's really exciting to see American directors to introduce that.
That's really cool.
Don't you love how I just moved it to movies?
Who's the director of this?
Osgood Perkins.
Osgood Perkins, okay. Yeah.
Not familiar.
Sorry, of Weapons? No, Craig, something Craig, Stephen Craig?
Stephen Craig sounds familiar. That sounds like a familiar name. We'll have to fact check that.
And there's a song that he plays in the movie from George Harrison, the album All Things Must Pass, I believe, something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Zach Krager.
Okay. Okay.
Fantastic. So the name of the song is, what is it? Either way, it's from his Hare Krishna time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I looked up the lyrics because it sounds almost spooky, right? Yeah. It makes sense to put into this horror movie, but it's really more trying to caution against materialism and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. That's
Yeah, you should check. It's a beautiful song.
Oh, I bet. Mm-hmm. Have you seen, this just came out. I went to go see this the day before my birthday. Have you seen The Running Man?
I have not. I was interested in The Running Man. I do like sci-fi.
It's good.
But I heard, you know what? I looked at the reviews and...
Mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it. I enjoyed it personally. I just love action movies. And I love Glenn Powell too and his rise to stardom. One thing too, the main villain in that movie who runs the government in that movie is the same actor who played Thanos in the Avengers series. So I and
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Josh Brolin.
Boy, what a resurgence
I love
this
Josh
guy's
Brolin.
Had.
I love him.
Right? I mean, was it No Country for Old Men?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe it was kind of when he came back around then.
Around there. Who was...
Yeah, he's been quite busy since then. And also another guy who... part of the reason why he had that resurgence is he became sober. That man drank and smoked and did everything with Sean Penn. You know, No, they tore it up.
Yeah.
So
you know, There's a line from Josh Brolin with regard to that. And he said, sobriety means your children seeing you or looking in your face and trusting what they see.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really poignant, poignant thing to say.
Yeah. I was listening to him on a podcast, 'cause he was talking about, that, like, 'cause he's, you know, like a typical Hollywood dude who is, you know, approaching 60, who of course, you know, is on his second marriage now and having his second round of kids, you know. so he's like I remember my experiences now with this crew. So the family two, if yeah, family 2.0 is getting a different version of Mr.
My goodness,
we love our celebrities and we love our celebrity news.
Oh yeah, of course we do.
Have you been staying abreast of this Olivia Nuzzi scandal?
No, I don't know what this is.
This imbroglio, if you will.
I don't know what that
is. It's something. It is really something.
What is
this? This woman, this... yeah, she's a journalist currently with Vanity Fair. Right now, that's a little bit in question. But she covered politicians for, I think, the New Yorker.
New York Magazine.
New York Magazine. And ended up having an affair with her her interview subject, right? Mark Sanford, the politician.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Presidential candidate too, right? At one point?
Yes, correct.
What year? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Then just recently, it was discovered that she had a quote-unquote virtual affair with RFK Jr. Yeah, it's and there was what's interesting is and scandalous about it is her fiance, her ex-fiance now, obviously,
yeah.
Ryan Lizza is also a journalist for what, Politico? I want to say.
I don't know. I think he released this on Substack, but he did. He's doing a little tell-all behind a paywall, which I applaud for the man who was cheated upon.
Look, in this economy, go for it.
Sure, sure.
Now I've been waiting for the second. Did it drop the second post?
No, not yet. But you know, what I find most interesting of all this is that, again, we're talking about these people, and that's because they're monetizing it. You know, they as we know, infamy can be monetized, and they're doing just that, aren't they?
Yeah, it's, you know, in this climate, I'd say it really fosters a get what you can
exactly
mentality.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there's one thing I want to talk about. So there's the highbrow of cinema, and then there's the lowbrow of cinema and TV. And Marcy and I are currently swimming in the lowest of lowbrow and enjoying it more than anyone possibly can, I think. And that is that show called on Hulu called All's Fair.
Well,
it's a very woman empowerment show, so maybe you should watch it in the parlor. Yes, and it stars Kim Kardashian, Glenn Close, Naomi Watts. Good Lord, who else?
Oh, not satire.
Huh?
Not satire.
They play, but it's like, it's so bad. It's campy. It's a Ryan Murphy effort. They all play lawyers, and they defend only women against men. And they're all extraordinarily wealthy. And yeah, did I mention that Glenn Close is in it?
Yes.
Glenn, Jesus. And it's, their guest stars have been Jennifer Jason Leigh and Jessica Simpson. And it's so extraordinarily bad that I think it's sublime. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for that, Jen. I needed something. We wrapped up. What do we wrap up? Task. Did you check that out on HBO? Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yeah, I heard that's good.
I've never seen it.
unbelievable. So it's the, you know, it's the good guy, the bad guy, but you're rooting for both of them. And they're rooting for each other, really. That's no, amazing. It's beautiful. The writing is incredible.
Yeah.
And the guy, correct me if I'm wrong, but the man starring opposite Ruffalo, he had an extraordinary role on the Jason Bateman show, The Ozarks, playing his brother-in-law.
Same guy?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was extraordinary on that show.
Yeah, I never got into Ozark.
I never got into Ozark either. My introduction to Bateman was Arrested Development, and the rest was history. That was my introduction to him as a kid because, you know, starting high school at the time, needed to find a new show. We watched Freaks and Geeks, which was only one season. We finished that in a breeze. And then we had, then that's when we were put on Arrested Development because, you know, we had time for a new show.
Yeah, that's it. Well, there's a lot more Bateman to appreciate. His podcast is pretty good, too.
I listened to a few episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's very guest-dependent.
Oh, for sure.
As far as I'm concerned. But how's the family going? How are the kids? How's everybody approaching the holidays, you know? The thing I always loved is when you talk about some of your holiday dinners, they weren't traditional and boring in the way that I was brought up. There's no shitty ham or turkey. You know, I mean, I just remember, I think it was Christmas one time or maybe every time. Mm-hmm. You guys had lamb and elements like that. And I just thought, man, that is how you do it. And I love, as I mentioned on a lot last podcast or a couple podcasts ago, the pizza episode, how much your family lives life, you know, and is with food is the glue. I just think I think it's just beautiful.
It's purpose driven, right? There's an objective to get together. So it really appeals to that productivity mm-hmm. aspect. Like, well, we had to eat anyway. Let's turn it into a 8-hour affair.
Might as well, you know, more time to cook and more time to put things together.
My brother, Giampaolo, got into a text exchange because I said, let me make the lasagna this year.
What did he say?
Right? First of all, I want to go back to what your point was. No, we always have lasagna on Thanksgiving and on Christmas.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. That's a holiday. It's a celebration. What else would you have?
Ham.
My brother says lasagna and turkey, meaning he's signing up for lasagna and turkey. I said, I want to make the lasagna this year, and let's not do turkey. Nobody likes it. Let's just stop.
That's preach.
I mean, it's not even a hot take anymore. Like, no, what are we doing?
Even good. I mean, unless if you're having it fried, it's good. But even that, it's not all that good.
You know, if you talk to Marcy, a friend of the pod, It's a very hot take. She loves all that boring ass turkey and the gravy and everything.
That's so American.
Now I find out.
That's so American. That's so American.
So I said, turkey sucks. I'm making the lasagna. He said, fun fact, I already scheduled it with Mama, and your lasagna sucks. Oh. So that's how that went.
Wow.
So once again, the only child, not the only child, the youngest child is relegated to sides.
Oh.
I think Cheech is being a little patriarchal there, too.
Oh, totally. Slap in the face. Slap in the face.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Didn't shy away though either.
All right. Let's, you know. All right. Let's get right to it. The lasagna. Is his lasagna better than yours?
Before this weekend, I would have said yes. This weekend, I really buckled down with Samin Nosrati's the big lasagna recipe.
She's so good.
I I made my own ricotta, which I usually do. It's so easy to do. So I did that. I did mozzarella and Parmesan. I did some Italian sausage as well, crumbled in there. And I made a bechamel that just knocks your socks off.
Right.
So it came out great. And maybe one day I'll make it for Thanksgiving. But speaking of Thanksgiving, in the Times, in the New York Times, they were talking about Joan Didion, who apparently was famous for her Thanksgiving parties. Like, she was like the first Friendsgiving kind of, and she always had like these, she had politicians and journalists and celebrities, movie stars, all these people. But she was really prolific when it came to, and militant apparently when it came to keeping up like this nostalgia for the Americana. You know, it's really like something from her past that she still felt obligated to celebrate.
Oh, for sure. You know? For sure.
That's interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's really good.
What did, no, it was just in, when she, in California?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. I do love that. You know, it is best in the gatherings, which is, I think, is more exciting when it goes beyond family, unless you have a really great large family could do. But I mean, again, going right back to the parlor, I just think an interesting mix of people discussing things, especially coming together and helping each other, I think is really great. And yeah, don't serve any turkey, though.
Never.
Never. Never.
No.
So what else? What are you looking forward to this week, or what else you got on your mind that's been good?
On the way here, I was listening to an episode of do you know Mel Robbins is?
Yes.
She's a podcaster,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do you guys like her?
I love her.
Okay, so she was talking about that Let Them theory.
Yes, I read the book.
How do you like it? I was thinking about it.
I really love that book. I was in between. So funny enough, we had this book analysis in one of my classes, communications. We had to tie a book to our textbook. I didn't choose that book to use for my book analysis, but I read two books to have a better idea with it. I ended up choosing a different one, but man, the Let Them theory made me think so much about like how a lot of things are perceived in our own heads, and not a lot of it is what our peers actually think of us. And even if they do, let them. Again, it's one of those books that's a must read. I definitely recommend it.
It's freeing.
It really
is. It kind of lightens the mental load.
Yeah, there's another phrase. My friend told me there's this art. It's called the art of not giving a fuck, is what he said. Mm-hmm. He's like, if you can literally start to let that go and start to just not care what other people think. I know it's easier said than done if you're a people pleaser. But when I finally let people have their own opinions about me and was like, they don't know me, then that was the freeing part.
So I'm ignorant to all this. So you tell me about the Mel Robbins, Let Them basics.
Mm-hmm. So it comes down to letting go of the control that we feel that we have to engineer every situation that we find ourselves in.
Exactly.
We need to conform, change your behavior,
right?
Because it's not right in my mind. Me, you know, so we suffer.
Yeah.
When we see our loved ones do things that we wouldn't have them do, or things that annoy us or anything.
Yeah.
It frees us from that by saying, well, let them.
Yeah.
You know, said another way, who gives a shit?
Exactly.
But I think it goes even a little bit deeper.
Right.
Because she makes a point of saying that when you let them be themselves, you can actually start to appreciate them as they truly are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and you can enjoy their company more because you're not smothering them.
Right. And that's
we're trying to change them.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, that's the best part is a lot of people think, oh, I can fix them. I can fix them. And it's like, no. One, there's, depending on the person, nothing really needs to be fixed. And if they need to be fixed, let them fix themselves. Because it's not up to us to be the construction worker on their own lives. Let us construct our own lives and let them construct theirs.
Very mature.
Mm-hmm.
This semi reminds me of a great quote of the late great Steve Noxon, you know, who was a friend of ours, you know, from the industry, and I had my job over at then called Team Detroit or Wonderman, whatever it was, and it was relatively new to me. I was in it for, I don't know, 9 months or so, and it was very stressful, and I was obviously wearing it on my face. And Steve told me, he said, you know, Stu, he goes, I learned to enjoy work a lot more the less I try to control it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was laid off about a month after that, but but again, rest in peace.
Can I do a call back to the pizza episode?
Yeah, go for it.
Fantastic, because the day after I recorded those things, 2 days after, I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out SSDM.
SSDM. Big friends of the pod.
Anyway, our ops supervisor, Nicole Casso, the legend, said, you know, growing up, there was this pizza place by us in Clausen. Got a hankering for it. Maybe I'm just feeling a little nostalgic.
Wow.
I'm going to get some. Yeah, I want you guys to try it. Have you ever heard of this place called Tatiana's?
Yes, I've been there.
No.
Yes, I went there with a couple of my frat guys. Yeah.
What? My God, it was revolutionary.
Yeah, that was good.
It was fantastic. It's a beautiful pizza with another crust on the top.
Oh yeah, it was good. So good.
It's like a it's like a calzone.
Pretty much
like a pizza calzone.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was so good.
So flavorful.
Yeah, I went there with a couple of fraternity guys because one of them lived in Clausen at the time. And we went with him before the guys went bar hopping. I went back home after that. But before that, man, we went there and it was good.
I just find it, I haven't tried Tatiana's, but I look forward to it. I think pizza is just perfect food. Does Tatiana, does that have an English translation or no? It's just a...
That's just a name.
That's
just a
name. No, it's a name. It's a proper name.
Yeah, I had a classmate shout out to I haven't spoken to her since high school. We had there was a girl I went to high school with named Tatiana in my graduating class.
All right, shout out Tatiana. Hope life's going perfect for you.
I haven't talked to you in five years.
Give us a call one time. We'd love to have you on the pod. Anything else on your mind, love?
Have we talked about the third man syndrome?
No.
Have we talked about that?
No.
So I've been kind of obsessed with survival stories.
Those are interesting.
So this is near death somehow.
Yeah.
By any means.
Right.
Sometimes the more salacious, the better. Whatever.
Right.
Right? Depends on the day. Depends on the mood. Regardless, I first heard about this syndrome from these survival stories of mountaineers, where if they were in a really dangerous situation, there'd been several reportings that a benevolent, you know, person just kind of appears and helps them get out of the situation through either motivation or by showing them the way. And in the common thing in all these stories is there never was another person. So it's interesting that this syndrome would be the same mechanism, in my opinion, that enables people who are near death, let's say who are in a car accident,
yeah,
right? They may hear a voice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll describe it, hearing it as plain as day.
Yeah.
As plain as I'm saying these words now, they right. hear a voice saying, you need to get out of the car now, right? Instructions, again, yeah. urgent, mm-hmm. getting you to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fascinated by these stories, and I did a little bit more research, holla Gemini. and what it seems to be is a survival mechanism.
No kidding.
And the brain has figured out a way to communicate these urgent messages to you in such a way that you'll accept that advice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That it'll be presented to you in a way that you'll find acceptable.
Right.
Because you have to follow it.
For sure.
So the recent thing I learned was, and the thing that blew my mind, was that typically when we have a thought that we think in our head, our brain sends a message before that message that says, there's a message from you incoming, right? So this voice in your head, that's you. Don't yeah. like freak out. In the survival situation, that is bypassed. So it's like a loophole that's bypassed that you won't recognize it as you.
Really?
So it's an auditory hallucination.
That's interesting.
Right? Manifested.
So this is common, or this is common enough. Yeah, it's so fascinating. I've heard, I mean, this... The human body, and obviously the mind, is a universe that we still haven't discovered, or still have a lot more research to understand, to do, is fascinating. Because I've heard, like, in survival situations, even like within the animal kingdom, like if a wolf has an injured leg or whatever, the anti-inflammatories will triage and help the area. It's like, okay, you're starving and you have a hurt foot, so it'll focus more on being and the healing of the leg to help it become a hunter again, so that it can eat and survive. So, but my God, this third man thing is fascinating.
Yeah, and obviously, seeing an animal in animals, they have these same survival mechanisms yeah. built in. And wouldn't it stand to reason we have these, yeah. this distinct consciousness that sets yeah. us apart, that it would be super cool.
Right.
No, it'd be badass what we could produce.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Oh, man.
Well, this has been this one wonderful. What you got the pen out. Okay, yeah. She's got the pen out. 1 second. Thoughts?
So, I mean, you can get these kind of conversations at the parlor starting in January.
Nice.
By invite only.
Invite only.
And from what I've come to understand, no boys allowed, right?
No. I mean, honestly, I think guys should make one of their own, honestly, because when it comes to...
I think we've been doing that for a long while.
Well, yeah, we sure have, but I'm talking like...
I'm talking about men. Men in general have been excluding women and having their own clubs, I think.
Well,
maybe we need to fire that buck up again.
But they won't talk about their problems as much. There's a stigma going around.
No, that's what Scotch and Scars have always been for.
Not always. I mean,
it's a joke.
When you look at, and I'm actually writing my research paper on this, so this is like, I'm very passionate when it comes to men's mental health. When men hang out, they don't always like to talk about their problems. They like to talk about what's going on that's well and everything in that regard, which is great, and it's a good coping mechanism. But at the same time, when you get a group of guys around in a corner and you open up about what's been going on really and how you truly feel, that's going to be so
beneficial
for men's mental health in general, and just getting away from the stigma that men can't talk about their problems.
No, like I think that there's still that caveman alpha male instinct to come through.
For sure. And, you know, that's the part that needs to be taken away, because there is a high percentage of suicide fatalities are males, like 75% in the country. And it just has to decrease, and it starts with taking action with it and just overall having men speak up about these problems and just seeking the real help for it.
All right. Maybe Aiden can create an offshoot of the parlor for men's only.
I'll make my own.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, this has been outstanding. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we go, Yali? Or do you want to head into you got a song for us?
Yeah, I think you're going to walk us out with a song I just heard for the first time yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. It is called Far Gone by Pictish Trail.
Tell us anything more about this. Obviously, it's pretty fresh for you, but tell us what you like about it.
So I've always loved music with, I don't know.
Pizzazz.
With verve, maybe.
With verve, there we go. There we go.
This definitely has attitude.
Nice. Nice.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. You've contributed before, but now we got you in studio in person, and this has been great. And now we'll head downstairs for a Sunday dinner. Well, I love you, son.
Love you too, Dad. And we'll cue this song out. Yeah,
but first, we'll say love you, Yali. So
of course.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining.
Love you guys.
All right. Keep things going real nice and positive. All right. Take care, guys.
Spot me on the hillside, la la la. You've stolen all the sunlight, la la. And now I'm in the woodchip, la la la. That's okay,
production, recorded and edited by Aiden Big Deal O'Neill.